Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers.
It takes a minute. Okay, here we go. Now say it.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Tom Rants in the Summer. I'm your ranter, Tom. I'm joined by my colleagues Nate Smith and David Wood. How are you, fellas?
Not too
Actually,
shabby.
It's not summer anymore, is it?
I'm doing well.
We've settled down into fall, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got the three.
It's in the 60s today.
3 weeks of great weather.
Nate, can I rant? I have 100 topics. Can I rant about the credential issue, or is that
what's
is that
the credential issue?
The email you got about media credentials.
Oh, media credentials for the Cavs. Yeah. Why we will not be covering Cavs games.
Yep.
In person.
Yep.
I guess you can. I mean, I don't know if anybody connected with the blog, with the Cavs will listen to this, but yes. So go ahead.
Well, I think it's nonsense. I think it's garbage because if you were in the business of providing media credentials, the kinds of things you would want to know are professionalism and longevity, seriousness. And so if you look at Cavs the Blog, we've been around, 9 years. We, without being audited or having any oversight, we hold ourselves to a high standard of professionalism. We don't dabble in gossip or nonsense or all the things that professional sports team would be leery of. At the same time, we're not lackeys or lapdogs. I was very off put when all the questions were, around site hits or, well, we only really, he said, we only, give media credentials to quote unquote blogs if they have a large enough reach. Like, well, what does that even mean? So I was very annoyed with that.
Well, and
I mean, how many years do you got to do something to a certain standard? What, do we got to do this for 50 years?
Yeah. Well, I may not have approached the right person in the Cavs organization, but, from the job descriptions, it appeared to be the right person, but maybe it wasn't. But yes, and it's interesting given kind of the current state of Cavs media, we've got Chris Fedor is now just graduated high school and is now the beat reporter for the Plain Dealer /Cleveland.com. And then you've got Joe Vardon has apparently taken Dave Zavak's place at the what's the stupid name?
Athletic.
The Athletic. And then, of course, Jason Lloyd is kind of their The Athletic's Cleveland bureau chief, I guess it would.
Wait, didn't Lloyd leave?
No, he's just not the beat writer anymore.
Oh, okay.
He just didn't want to travel, basically.
Okay.
So I mean, it was kind of slim pickings over at old Cavs Media Day when Marla Ridenour was there for the Beacon Journal, and you had Fedor and Vardon, and that was like probably 75% of the questions. And it was like, okay, maybe you guys want to mix this up a little bit. Of course, I was referred to multiple times to the content on Cavs.com, which is all fine and good, but is also, you know, part of the problem with getting all your content from the sports team that you're covering is you're going to get very milquetoast.
It's going to be sanitized. Yeah.
There will be no discussion of how insane it is, how much Ty Lue already likes Rodney Hood.
They're certainly not going to have, 3,000 word duels about Dan Gilbert.
or you know, why Kyrie Irving's defense is so terrible. So,
yeah.
So anyway, this is our pity party here for Cavs the Blog. So we've
got aggravating. Out of our system.
Well,
it's not really a pity party. I mean, we don't aggressively market ourselves. We don't try. We're not ambitious. We're not trying to make a career out of this.
Maybe
you know what I mean?
The problem is we're not.
Well, ambitious. That might be the problem. Yeah. We're not looking to. We've never done advertising.
Although that is changing soon. We will have some coming.
Because you've been paying hundreds of dollars a year for years now, fitting the bills.
Maybe. I don't know.
You can say it. But, you know, it's not a pity party because it's not a big deal. It's just kind of aggravating. Like, it's Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect, you know?
Hey, I have literally made tens of dollars printing t-shirts in association with this.
And they're freaking awesome t-shirts. I was reading the back of Cavs the Blog t-shirt. I was reading the back of it, and I'd forgotten about a lot of, like, the memes from that season.
Oh, from
and
the
it was just,
2000, what was it, 2015?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
15 was the memes.
Yeah.
Was the one we did the word cloud. Yeah, there's so many great stories that year.
I know.
Yeah, but so my new idea for a t-shirt, so do you guys realize this is the 10th anniversary season of Cavs the Blog? We're up to double digits. Can you believe that, David? David, are you there?
David, we might have lost David like 15 minutes ago when I started ranting. I wouldn't actually know. David!
Now we lost David. What the heck? Okay, so 10th anniversary of Cavs the Blog. Pretty
he probably just went to drop a deuce, I bet.
Like,
he came back too quickly. He's like, I gotta run to the bathroom, and he was back in seconds. I felt like he did.
Okay, so Stephen Hawking voice, David, I am here. The mic is being weird.
Oh, yes, the Stephen Hawking voice.
David's mic is cutting out, so of course, technical difficulties on the Cavs the Blog podcast. But what was I saying? Okay, 10th anniversary. So I was thinking of maybe a 10th anniversary t-shirt, and we could print the names of, like, every player that has been... Hey.
He's back.
David's back.
All right, I'm back.
My phone was on. Back.
All right, I clicked I thought the mute was the other button, but it wasn't.
And we wonder why we can't get credentialed.
We our technical difficulties do crop up from time to time.
On the credential thing, though, if the Browns keep doing good, we're going to be able to just afford, like, really good seats at the Cavs games because no one's going to watch them.
Yeah, exactly. Until January. Yeah, and who knows how good they'll be in January. Like, it's going to be an interesting season, let's put it that way.
I mean, we're going to push for the fourth seed, but...
The fourth seed of what?
Of the Eastern Conference.
We shall see. So, and that might lead to some Tom Pestak flexing on John Wall. But before we get to
Oh, my God, yes.
Tom, so 10th anniversary of Cavs the Blog, David. When did you start listening, following, reading?
Like 2 years before I was writing. So
probably about...
College time?
Did you start before LeBron?
Yeah, I was in the dark days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a diehard. Yeah. So you've been here about half the time, probably.
Yeah, definitely half the time, because I was still living in Chicago, so at least 5 years.
Wow. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been around a while, David.
So I'm thinking, so if we did a 10th anniversary t-shirt, I was thinking every player who's been on the Cavs in that 10 years, Well, you got an idea for a 10th anniversary t-shirt?
I have no idea, but I do like the idea of having all the players.
Like, I want a t-shirt that has Samardo Samuels and Samir Dan and Luke Heron Godey.
Omri Caspi.
Heron Godey.
Caspi Buttfingers.
What? Is
the... You, oh my gosh. So for a while, people were calling him Caspi, like, A-word fingers on one of the Cavs blogs when he was on the team.
Why?
Because he just always dropped the ball. He was terrible with the Cavs. He was so bad.
Yeah.
He didn't drop the ball more than Sasha Pavlovich did.
Or Omer Asik might be the least basketball talent. Not Omer Asik, Semir Den might be the least basketball talented player I've ever watched. On a
Christian Ianga.
Ooh, Christian Ianga was pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Did you know who had the worst hands ever? Was Ben Wallace. Remember he had those little tiny hands and he could never catch anything?
Yeah, but he could cover Dwight Howard.
Greatest defensive players of all time.
Yeah. And
we had Shaq.
We did have Shaq. Yeah.
We did have Shaq. Oh man, JJ Sixon.
JJ Hickson had terrible hands.
He did. LeBron made JJ Hickson look good. That honestly might be one of his greatest accomplishments.
The Cavs didn't trade JJ Hickson for Amari. That was like a sticking point, I think.
Oh my god, David. You just added another rant to my list. They tried
we cannot literally repeat
this.
You've had this rant four times.
I know. I feel like David just triggered me. Like everyone is trying to tonight. I don't know if I can handle it.
So yeah, so I'm thinking that idea. If you got any ideas for a
literally on my tombstone, it's gonna say the Cavs did try to trade JJ Hickson to the Phoenix Suns for Amari Stoudemire. You can just put that on my damn tombstone.
There you go. And
so let's talk about Manu Ginobili retiring. Do you guys think he's one of the greatest shooting guards of this generation? Like,
oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah, yeah. He ushered in the modern NBA as we see it in like a classy way.
Whoa. Keep talking. I like where this
found.
Yeah,
dude, he's a watchable version of James Harden. Like he takes all the lawyer ball tactics that James Harden's employing and makes it watchable.
I don't know. There was a time before the axis of ego that I really hated watching Manu Ginobili because there was a time he was the league's biggest flopper.
Yeah, but
it was new.
Yeah, he was a flopper, but it didn't bother me. I could look past flopping. Yeah. I think it helped
because he had a great skill level.
He busted the door open for that style of play, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, who knows if James Harden becomes James Harden without Manu, because James Harden, you got to remember, started as a bench combo guard. And that's what Manu was for years and years and years. You know, a combo guard who could guard the three as well. So, whereas James Harden can't guard anybody. But, Manu, the thing that always just was just brutal about Manu was that left-handed drive, but then he had that step back that was like, 6 feet back, he would just jump back and drain that three, and it was like unstoppable.
There were so few people that could actually make that shot. It was an unguardable shot.
Yeah, because his first step was so deadly, and they always spaced the floor so well, so if you helped off anybody, they would score, you know.
Yeah.
They'd have Bowen in the corner, and then they'd have Danny Green or whomever, you know, or the red Mamba. No, the white Mamba.
Oh, you're talking my Matt Bonner.
Yeah, Matt Bonner was,
he's the reason I tried Big Red Soda and realized it's the grossest soda in America.
You know what the best soda in America is that's been discontinued?
Jolt.
Sprite Remix.
I thought it was the original Coke Zero. Sprite Remix, was that the LeBron soda?
No, it was around the time LeBron came into the league. I used to pound it in college, like my first couple years.
What was the LeBron soda from a couple years ago? Like the Sprite? LeBron,
LeBron's been a Sprite guy.
Yeah. No, but he's got the soda for a couple of years.
He had like a strawberry one, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I must not have had that one. My dad bod's doing just fine without soda, so I can't I can't overdo it.
Yeah, well, I only do the diet soda, and apparently it's just as bad as regular soda. So, yeah, David and I were talking about the occupational hazards of sitting at a desk all day.
Yeah, you guys got to get a standing desk. Would you believe
that so I can have knee pain on top of on top of my ever-expanding backside?
I mean, David, do you even believe that someone as much of a get-off-my-lawn old geezer as me actually has a hip standing desk at work?
No, I mean, no. If you want people to get off your lawn, you got to be able to get out of your chair and yell at them. So.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, I won't sit on the yoga ball. That's too ridiculous, but I will stand at work.
You don't have a spinning desk so you can pedal?
No, I don't.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I am trying to be more healthy, though. I really am. And, Nate, did I ever tell you about that, like, kind of B-grade documentary I watched years ago called Fathead?
No, but this sounds fantastic.
Oh, man. Okay, so you've seen Super Size Me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this dude,
what's his name?
Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just imagine me in, like, 15 years, right? I'm a little overweight. My jokes aren't funny. I'm a dad. I work in tech, and I, you know, I'm open to believing in, you know, government conspiracies from time to time.
So it's basically you now, but your hair is just all white.
Well, this guy's hair is actually less white than mine, so that's just because of who I am. But
no, I'm you in 15 years.
Yeah. So this guy who's a local like bar comedian, you know, no one knows who he is. He watches Super Size Me and he gets pissed. He gets triggered. He thinks this whole premise is ridiculous. So he goes out and makes his own movie, and it feels like he read Gary Taubes' book, that was pretty popular called Good Calories, Bad Calories or something like that. And so he enlists all these doctors and other people. Some of them, you know, you could say maybe aren't the who's who of, you know, nutritionists, but enough people to sing in unison with him that everything that we've been told since like the 60s about nutrition is not only wrong, it's dangerous, it's led to crazy obesity and diabetes.
Okay.
So anyway, I saw this movie years ago and I was just totally captivated by it. And my favorite part of the movie, I mean, it was catnip for me. This guy talking about, oh, some government guy that wasn't even a scientist, you know, wrote some BS study and then advocated. I mean, it was like Tom Pestak catnip.
Food
like,
pyramid.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, oh, so this is why everything's all effed up, because some genius, you know, intellectual that didn't know what the hell he was talking about pushed all this policy on us, right?
Yes, so, yes, it had nothing to do with fast food or people sitting on their butts all day.
No, right. So that reels me in. But then these like B quality, like, I mean, it reminded me of Schoolhouse. What was the what was that thing we used to watch as kids that would
after
teach us
school specials?
No.
Schoolhouse like, Rock.
Yeah.
So it was a bill on Capitol Hill. That one.
Exactly. It was like that quality animation showing how
DNA.
Just showing like metabolic processes. And it gets into the glycemic index and how your insulin has to, you know, ramp up so that you don't get poisoned from too much blood sugar too quickly. And I'm just like, wait. I've never known any of this. All I was told growing up was buy lean cuisines and lean pockets, not hot pockets.
Had nothing to do with the fact that you lived 45 minutes from where Stouffer's is made.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. In Solon. So I'm sitting here thinking, I spent my whole life trying to eat like high carb, low fat diets, and I'm fat. I mean, and I work out all the time and I'm still fat. What the heck? And so I'm watching this thing. So this guy decides to do what Morgan Spurlock did in a way. He decides to eat fast food every meal, every day for like a month. The difference is he doesn't drink like giant like sodas, but he eats like, you know, Big Macs. He doesn't eat like salads. He eats fast food. And he goes to his doctor and gets his blood work done before and after. And at the end of this 30 days, he's lost 12 pounds. This is the other thing. One of the things that they make a point of to say in this documentary is that the lipid hypothesis is bunk, which, by the way, is probably true now. I mean, there's been enough studies to say that. But also the idea of, like, calories.
Warning. Tom Pestek is not a doctor and has no medical degrees.
No, I don't. That's right. Don't listen to anything I say. But listen to the
rant. I'm not telling him not to listen. I'm just saying.
No. Listen to the rant.
Don't sue us. That's
but don't take any advice. I'm not even going to give any advice. So the other thing that he says is bunk, and this is a Gary Taubes thing, is that it's not calories in, calories out. It's not like, well, I ate 2,500 calories and I burned 2,300, so I have a net 2,000 calories that are just going to make me fat. Like that, according to this documentary, is all BS. It has nothing to do with calories, really. So that was like, what? I thought that was like a universal truth. Like, calories in, calories out, that's going to determine my weight.
Wait, do you believe this or you don't believe this?
Well, that's where I'm going, David.
I need to.
So
and this whole time, this person's trying to sell you a set of gutters.
So I finished watching this documentary years ago, and I'm just like, oh my God, do people know about this? So my sister, who's a doctor, right? I send it to her. I'm like, you gotta watch this. And I start telling her on the phone about it, and she starts, you know, treating me like I'm some, you know, crazy tin hat person going off the deep end. And it's just like, no, that's wrong. The lipid hypothesis is real. And I'm like, if it's real, then blah, 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 blah. And I'm hitting her with all this stuff. And she's like, I went
You're
to medical
with
school.
Knowledge, Tom.
Yeah. She's like, trust me. And I'm just like, I don't trust you. So I'm just like sending her articles and all this stuff. So anyway, at a certain point, she may have conceded that it's more complicated, but she wasn't prepared to say, yes, the lipid hypothesis, which the American Heart Association's been promoting for forever, and we've, as a country, been in the Western world, has been promoting since the 60s, was BS. She wasn't prepared to say that. So here we are, about 9-10 years later, and what's all the rage now are, you know, paleo diets, keto diets, high fat, like low carb diets. And there are plenty of studies that at the very least will say there is no relationship between like high fat diets and an increase in heart disease. Like there are actually giant studies. There's a study that came out.
I'm going to disagree with you here.
Study that came out in 2006 that followed 48,000 women over like.
It was just a study that said people don't live as long with these high protein, high lipid diets.
Okay,
now,
there you go.
I don't.
So
they
thus,
say a balanced diet, Tom, is
so
the
this
best.
Is
rich in complex carbohydrates,
right?
And vegetables so this, and lean meats.
So I'm all about all of that. So here's my thing though. Here's my biggest problem. With the exception of maybe farmers and Stouffer's executives, right? The vast majority of Americans feel overweight and want to not be overweight and want to be healthy and want to eat good, healthy foods.
I feel
right?
like this is an infomercial.
It's not really that controversial. It's not political. It's like one thing that affects, you know, us at least three times a day, every person. And it's largely not political. The idea, I mean, they're like
unless
veganism.
You're the first lady.
Whoa.
Lunches.
Yeah. There's that kind of stuff. But on average, right, people want to eat healthier food and be better.
Okay. What are you building to here, Tom?
It. I don't know if it enrages me or if it's a good lesson that we just don't know.
We just
don't know. Like, we sent people to the moon, Nate and David.
Whoa, come on. Like, Now you're making some assumptions.
We sent people to the moon.
Or and, you built a really good looking set.
Oh jeez, don't.
And we can't even come together and say, yes, we're almost positive that, you know, these kinds of diets are healthy, or the lipid hypothesis is real, or it's not real, or calories in, calories out is real, or it's not real. Like, this is one of those things where there's so many studies that are inconclusive. There's so many things that are causal, and it's just like, we just don't even know. Like, you know what's very comforting? We know that smoking is bad for you.
It is.
And that's about it.
It's very cool, but it is bad.
Other than like cutting, probably bad for you.
Other than cutting our limbs,
probably bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That and like cutting off our limbs, we're pretty sure is bad for you. And everything else, it's like, we don't really know. We don't really know.
I mean, I think
that blows my mind. That blows my mind. And I think about this.
There's scientists. So I have a friend that's a geneticist in California, and he's like, even as in my own field, like how many things we thought were true about evolution, just aren't true at all. And we're finding out that, you know, all these radical theories of mutations and evolution and all this stuff that we thought we knew for years and years and years, you know, after Darwin and people theorizing, just it, natural selection is a myth. Everything is stochastic. You know, there are forces on natural selection, but it doesn't mean that anything evolves to, you know, the ultimate, kind of organism for this environment or anything like that. It's like we're just realizing how much viruses and bacteria and the transfer of genes via infections has altered evolution throughout years. And yet for decades, we just believed it was, you know, just random mutations. So yeah, scientists, they tell you, you know, believe science, but everything comes with a grain of salt.
Well, for the diet thing, they're making progress though, because they're starting to realize that, like, depending on your genetics, like what diets will actually work for you.
No, like, people, that's also false. True.
That's, hashtag no, fake true. News.
Fake news. Nope. And I've heard the blood type diet too. That's probably false.
Well, there's like a whole thing that like people that are like from the Mediterranean regions or whatever, you can have like high sodium diets because their bodies are used to having like plentiful amounts of salt, so it sheds quickly.
Well, whereas, like,
if you take someone from like a region that wasn't like exposed to a lot of salt, like say, like, I don't know, maybe Siberia, I don't know where they don't have a lot of salt. Like those people, if they are given a lot of salt, develop more problems than like a Mediterranean based person because their body doesn't shed it quickly, and it's like a genetics, like a evolution type thing.
We have fallen down a rabbit hole.
But here's the larger point.
What does this mean
for
the Jimmy Butler trade?
This is what it means. It means we as a website, as a community, we study the minutiae of a highly controlled, rule-based exercise with like billions
very
of data points.
Data set. But it's very defined. Every team plays 82 games.
And it's clean data. And it's so clean. And it's so controlled. And you know what? We don't have an effing clue, like, what's going to happen. And preseason predictions, other than after Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, it was like, yes, they are going to win.
We definitely have clues. We can definitely pick out trends. But
how good are they, really? Because it's not as good as I feel like modern society feels entitled to answers. Like, we just, Alexa, tell me blah. Like, we feel like they're just our answers to our questions. And it's just a matter of finding it.
Yeah, and what is the answer that the data tells us versus, hey, we can watch a basketball game and say, hey, that LeBron James guy is pretty good. Or, you know, but how do we tell who's a player that's really, how do we convince somebody that Rodney Hood is not a good basketball player, or that Jordan Clarkson is not a good basketball player, even though their numbers in a vacuum don't look horrible?
It's just life is hard, and it is so hard to figure out what causes things. It's so hard to figure out what percentage of an outcome is caused by what percentage of an input. And I just more and more, I feel like, man, we do know so much, and like what we're able to accomplish today in some cases is just on the standing on the shoulders of genius and process and dedication. And I mean, I think about things like how reliable like cars are,
or cell phones or the internet or Skype, just, which we're on, you know,
it's just amazing. And then at the same time, super mundane things like, hey, should I eat rye bread or like sourdough, or wait, what effect is spiking my glycemic? It's like, no one really knows. They just don't know. And it's like, really? This is an exercise we've been partaking in since the dawn of time, is like eating to sustain ourselves. And we really, yeah, we know the easy stuff, right? We know that we need vitamins. So if you don't eat foods, if you eat foods that are totally devoid of vitamins, you won't be doing so well. Like, okay, that's easy. But what we don't, you know, now with all this, all the food we have and how plentiful it is, and we're living longer, and it's like obesity is such a big problem, it just feels like this should be easier than it is, and it's not. And I think it's less of a rant than a good lesson that, man, so few things are just as certain as we want them to be and as experts tell us they are. Like, oh, blah, 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 science, or blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, I mean, good. Use the
best
science.
How many games are the Browns going to win?
Half of how many you think they're going to win. That is scientific. So if you think 8, I'm going 4. If you think 10,
I predict them to go 14-2. So
you're already gone.
But I did get one of the ties.
What did you guys think? I thought it was very against the Browns' ethos to cut the punter, Zane Gonzalez, after basically one really bad half.
Oh, I thought that was just one bad half. Come on.
Nah, he stunk. Hugh Jackson's no millennial. He doesn't care about the process. Like, he's all about results, as we've seen over the past couple of years.
It's a kicker. Who cares?
I like that, David. Millennials are about process, and the old guard's about results. Man, you are dropping some, like, stitch this on a pillow shit tonight. I love it.
Wow, Tom is turnt up tonight.
Dude. Seriously, man, I got so much pent up rage.
Have you been reading Phil Jackson books, Tom? Is this what's going on here?
So let's turn it back to the Cavs here a little bit. Are the Cavs going to be any good this year?
Wait, we talked all this much about food and obesity, and we're not going to mention Dion Waiters.
Hey, I'm getting there.
I was going to bring it all full circle, Tom.
Oh no, I buried the lead.
Yeah, so David and Tom and I were talking. You know, what was it you said? The growing consensus is that Miami has to figure out somebody to take Dion Waiters off their hands if they're going to trade for Jimmy Butler. The problem is Dion Waiters looks like he got served by Waiters. That was terrible. That was a terrible joke.
That was all right.
That was so dad joke. Anyway, he looks like he's about 25 pounds heavy coming into training camp here. I mean, he has been nursing a bum wheel all off season, but he's looking rough in the team pictures, and he is due $36 million over the next 3 years, with some performance incentives in there that may move those numbers up $1 million or $2 million a year. But it's looking rough, and nobody in the NBA right now wants to take on a 3-year contract for a mediocre player, no matter what you're making.
Why is that? Because that sounds like a steal.
Well, okay. So if you look at the Cavs cap situation, they are projected to have pretty clear cap room after, not this season, but after the season after this one. So with all these guys signing, you know, these short-term contracts, you've got Anthony Davis free agency, I believe up at the year after this one. You've got, you know, Kevin Durant on a series of very short term contracts. Nobody wants these dead money contracts, like, and I think it's a knee jerk reaction to these terrible contracts that happen without the cap smoothing, like, you know, Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng and all that kind of stuff.
George Hill makes $19 million.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. Although that George Hill contract is going to be gold. Because great thing about the George Hill contract is I believe they can trade it after the season. And then the team that receives him can then release him for $1 million once the calendar flips over, which is actually kind of nice. Kind of like the opposite of what teams did with, what Chris Paul did with the Rockets, where he opted in. It's going to be like, oh, we can trade him and then dump him. So, but yeah, that Deion Waiters contract, he's not that good, Tom. And is he worth $36 million over the next 3 years?
Well,
he may
still
be.
He's still pretty young. And I mean, he's shown flashes.
Six.
Look, Deion can still, like, when he's healthy, he gets to the rim. He just is not smart enough to slow his game down.
No, he's been better at times. The problem with Deion is he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with the health thing. But I think he's improved his game a bit.
So
he's a better shooter now, isn't he? Than he used to be.
He still has that weird. He has that weird thing where he like pulls the ball behind his head and like kind of catapults it, though.
He's still a better shooter. Like last year he wasn't very good, but it was mostly injuries. But I mean, you look at this. In the last 3 years, he's played 78 games in 2015, 2016, then 46 games a year before in 2016, 2017, and only 30 games last year.
Rapham hates him, by the way.
Huh?
Rapham, RPM hates him.
Yeah, he's only a 41% shooter from the field and 34% from three for his career, and he's never shot above 43% from the field, which is not very good.
But don't you just want Deion back just because it'll be fun to have him back?
I want Deion back.
I definitely do. He was one of my favorite players. He was the weirdest player because I didn't like him as a player I don't get that into, like, do I find you, like, charming personally? Like, I know a lot of people do. I'm sort of like, do I like your game? I never liked Deion's game, but man, that guy, just for whatever reason, I loved his attitude.
When he wanted to play defense, too, he's a pit bull. Yeah.
Well, I also loved Deion and Dele together. Like, that was my favorite, because, like, Dele always set him up so well. But, yeah.
I want Dele back. Probably more than Deion.
Oh,
do you guys know? Do you guys know what his nickname is? According to Basketball Reference,
Deion.
Yeah, Deion. What one of his nicknames is? Anyone?
I mean, we used to call him Freon, but no. What is it?
I see them. So is it Downhill Deion?
Yeah, Downhill Deion. Kobe Wade. Google me.
I remember a headache.
Nickname for Deion Waiters, right? It's Saint Weirdo.
Yeah, Saint Weirdo. Anagrammer.
Yeah.
So I would not mind having Deion back, but I mean, clearly the would have to pay somebody to take Deion at this point. In terms of a draft pick. So like if they gave up a draft, would you want a first rounder? The problem is the first rounders they have to trade are pretty far out.
Yeah, I don't think they have anything worthwhile.
I would trade a first rounder.
Like, they would love to give up.
Or you're saying they would give a first rounder if we paid the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would do that in a heartbeat. A heartbeat.
Yeah. They'd take a player, I think.
Well, yeah. So you give them J.R. Smith. The Cavs get Deion, and then they get a future first round draft pick. The Cavs do. But the problem is.
The Cavs would.
Sorry,
the Cavs would make them give us an actual player, I don't know, like Rodney Magruder or like a guy that has some upside. Like,
really, Rodney Magruder? That's the guy.
Well, no, not him, but like maybe Justice Winslow or something would have to be attached, or like Josh Richardson.
If they're trying to move for Jimmy Butler, you know, Justice Winslow's probably going to Minnesota. You know, it's probably Justice Winslow, a first rounder, and, you know, insert other player here for him. And then
it's
the problem is both those teams have so many bad contracts. Like Deion Waiters is a terrible contract. Then you got Gorgui Dieng is a bad contract, even though I don't dislike Gorgui Dieng the player that much. But it's a bad contract for Minnesota, and both those contracts are kind of unmovable, and I think nobody wants them.
I think the Wolves would probably honestly try to take back a veteran, like James Johnson or a guy like that.
Oh, yeah, I think they would take James Johnson.
Yeah, Tibbs isn't in the process of rebuilding, and I think to make the salaries match, they probably would just get like James Johnson and then – random throwaway piece, or like Tyler Johnson, or
Tyler Johnson though makes $19 million this year, which is insane. Which is
it's absurd.
Yeah, so it's like both those teams have so many bad contracts. So, what do you think of the idea of the Cavs trading for Jimmy Butler? Which there's been supposedly interest expressed. I don't see how the Cavs have the assets for it, but
Jimmy Butler just cares about money. If he's being this adamant about being traded, he's got to re-sign wherever he goes.
I don't think that's true. I think he wants to win, but I think all these guys now,
Why is he so unhappy in Minnesota?
I don't understand that, because Minnesota would have probably been a 4 seed if he stayed healthy last year, or 3 seed.
Yeah, they were good.
And like, we've seen this mistake, like Melo went to the Knicks, gutted the team for the trade, and the team was awful for years.
Right.
And this would be the same situation.
Which,
so that's why,
to me, makes the Knicks the most likely scenario to trade for Jimmy Butler.
I mean, maybe, but I think Butler just, wherever Butler gets traded, he resigns, because I think this is like a money thing. Like, otherwise, why not just wait till the offseason and let a team absorb you?
He also wants to be he also wants to increase his Q rating. He wants to be the man on a perennial playoff team. You know,
the
John
Knicks,
Wall,
the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets. Actually, the Nets. He also wants to be in a major market. That's the other thing.
I did say the Nets. I actually think the Nets would be a good place. I think they're kind of plug and play contenders. They just need one dude to lift them up.
Really? They're a lot of role players.
Yeah, they have a lot of role players that just need a star. I think the Nets will be like a 6 seed this year.
I don't think that at all. I mean, I like a lot of the guys on the Nets, but the problem is they're like, I really like Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, and I really like who's the other guy?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie, but they're not good shooters, and that's
They got Joe Harris. They have the one. They have the one for Joe Harris is a 40% shooter from three.
Last year.
I'm trying to think. They have a foreign guy. I can't think of his name. LeVert. Caris LeVert. He's a 40% shooter too.
I think Angelo Russell, but they have a lot of chuckers. Is the problem? They have a lot of guys that. And they don't have a lot of good finishers around the rim. That's the other problem. Like
Jared Allen's decent.
Yeah, but I mean, he's just a guy that's going to dunk. That he's not a finisher around the rim. You know, he's not.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's just a dunker. You know, you need these
guys. He's just a dunker.
Well, you need these guys that if they don't have a dunk, they've got a go-to move to finish around the rim, or they're going to get to the line. You know what I mean? And make teams pay at the line.
And getting the offensive board and dunking again.
Yeah. Or you know, Tristan Thompson, where he just, you know, throws it up with his baby hands. And
actually, they got Ed Davis this year. Ed Davis is extremely above average.
Well, that's the thing. Brooklyn is a team with a lot of above average players. So, in the right situation. So, they have a good team. They have a good organization. We'll see how they do. But I mean, if Jimmy, but they don't have the assets. Like, who does Minnesota want from Brooklyn? I mean, they don't have the assets to trade for him.
Well, they probably take Damari Carroll, and then who else is old?
Well, they want draft picks. The problem is Brooklyn traded all their draft picks to Boston. Now they don't want to trade them again.
You think Minnesota really wants draft picks, though? I mean, this is Thibodeau we're talking about.
Here's the whole thing. So the whole rumor that one of the subtexts is that Thibodeau and Glenn Taylor, like, teams are very confused because Glenn Taylor says he wants to trade. And then Thibodeau is getting on the phone with these guys and telling the 76ers that he wants, you know, their best players. Like, literally wants, who was rookie of the year last year?
Ben Simmons.
He literally wants Ben Simmons for Jimmy Butler. And it's like, okay, they're not going to trade you Ben Simmons for Jimmy Butler. You know.
But the Knicks will trade Joakim Noah.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like, the whole point is, so now the subtext is that basically Thibodeau is sick of being there, and if Jimmy Butler's gone, he doesn't want to be there anymore, so he's trying to get fired by Glenn Taylor and basically get his contract bought out. Because he is president of basketball operations, and he is also the coach, so it's kind of a screwed up situation. So I think it's goofy as heck, I think Thibodeau may get relieved of his GM duties or fired before the season, but who knows? So I don't know where he ends up, but I think the Cavs have the ammo for him.
I honestly think Jimmy Butler stays put. Like, I think Tibbs is stubborn enough that he would try to make it work because that team could be good.
I don't think Jimmy Butler will. I think he'll sit out.
When's the last time a player actually sat out like that?
I think the only kind of precedent is probably Vince Carter when he just totally kind of quit on Toronto. Like, he was there, but he was not there. Like, kind of faked injuries the whole time. I can't remember how that whole thing went down, but it was weird. That's kind of the last time I can think of it, but... Tom, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did you hear what Harrison, who's... Remember the linebacker Harrison played for Pittsburgh?
James Harrison?
Yeah. He said that... who's their running back that's holding out?
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, he said that Le'Veon Bell should just return to the team and fake an injury every week.
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever. I mean, what about a Dallas trading for him? Although they have a lot of forwards.
Yeah. So I like Dallas's team, and this is just strictly because of playing NBA 2K, but they got a cool lineup.
Yeah.
Like, Dirk coming off the bench is a smart idea. And then Luka, I think, will be really good, even though he kind of got fat. but you're playing Luka, Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith, and then Wes Matthews. Those are all four legit dudes that can switch positions. Dennis Smith, not so much.
Wes Matthews can't guard like he did before he had the Achilles injury.
Yeah, but they have DeAndre Jordan now. Like, which, whatever you think about DeAndre Jordan, like, that does do a lot for you because guys aren't going to drive past you as much. Like, no, they have the fear in them. Like, yeah, it's a smart team setup. I think they'll be decent.
The last 2 years, no one.
That large guy, Samar Dinner.
Yeah. So, I mean, it should be interesting. So, Tom, where do you think Jimmy Butler ends up, or do you not even care? Clippers?
Well, I don't care, but yeah, I mean, David, you said you think he stays put, but hasn't he gone, like, way out of his way to say he has to be traded?
Yeah, like, he just wants to be gone at this point. He wants to be he wants to be in training camp with another team.
And it feels like that's the trend, right? I mean, the Cavs capitulated to Kyrie, and the Spurs, of all franchises, capitulated to their franchise player, so... Yeah. I don't have any. I mean, what makes you think that this will be different and the Timberwolves will be able to keep Butler?
Well, you're saying that if you think Tibbs wants to get fired, this is the first step. Like, keep Butler, make him super angry, create a bunch of, like, discontent within the team. But at the same time, I don't think if Tibbs is running the stuff for who he's going to get traded with, there's no one that Tibbs wants unless he pulls a total jerk move and he's like, all right, Knicks, you can get him, but we get Joakim Noah and then like Frank Nicotina and your pick this year, which like is not out of the question.
That's actually a pretty fair trade. But if I was Tibbs, I'd want Kevin Knox.
Yeah, or Kevin Knox. But that's why I don't think it goes down. I just don't really think there's anywhere for Jimmy Butler. And if Jimmy Butler is being smart, just wait a year. Like, well, I get he wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get the money, but at a certain here's point, the thing. Like,
so Jimmy Butler wants to pull the Chris Paul. He wants to pull the Kevin Love, where he gets the wink, wink, nod, nod deal of, yeah, we're going to re-sign you when this year's up. We're going to, you know, even though we can't legally sign you to a contract or even talk about signing you to a contract after this year, we're going to give you that, kind of like the Cavs gave Kevin Love, you know. So I totally think that that's what he's fishing for. So I don't know. But, yeah, I think to me it's like New York, Miami, or the Clippers. And after that, the pickings get slimmer very quickly.
Man, I forgot New York had a basketball team until you said that.
Well, they have some assets. So
the Knicks are really intriguing. They have a ton of guys that could turn out all right or like be good. I think the Knicks made some smart moves the past like year or two.
Yeah, no, I like their GM. And Kevin Knox looked really good in summer league. So,
hey, what are the odds for what's-his-face in Utah to win MVP this year?
Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're pretty low, but actually he'd be a pretty good bet.
Yeah, that dude is a stud.
Oh, yeah. And he's the total proof of you don't have to have you don't have to tank to get a great player.
Yeah, no, it's well said, Nate.
Look at their two best players, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
So you can join the pillow stitching club.
Thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to tank to get a good pick.
No, you don't have to tank to get a good player. I mean, it can certainly help your chances, but
I'm rooting for guys like that. I'm rooting for Donovan Mitchell. I'm rooting for Giannis. All these young guys that seemingly are anti-banana boat, you know, that's the one thing that always bothered me about LeBron. He was always about the fraternity of the NBA instead of, I just want to win, and I don't care if you like me, and I'm not going to be buddies
with
everyone.
Yeah, I'm all about my teammates, but outside of that, yeah.
So it's like, I love these guys that generally seem like they don't really like other superstars, like when they play them. And I get that sense from Donovan Mitchell, from Giannis.
So have you been following not that many people. All the shade that LeBron is catching in L.A.?
No, for
what? Like the media, like, they just have the media people asking him these wacky questions every day. And he's already, like, the rumor is he's already asked that specific people not be allowed to interview him anymore. because, like, he had the one guy who's like, what do you have to do to prove yourself to the LA fan base? And he's like, his answer was, well, I signed here for 4 years. So I'm not sure what more they want. Or, or just crazy stuff like that. Or like, what do you have to win over this fan base? Like, there's a lot of legit haters out there, and it's kind of the subtext is that he's not having it as easy in LA as he is used to in Miami or in, you know.
Oh, well, just wait if they don't make the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. Dream season is the Cavs make the playoffs and the Lakers don't.
That would be amazing.
That would be dream season.
If the Lakers make it, the Spurs knock them off. That'd be great. DeMar hits them.
Oh, I don't think they're getting out of the first round, no matter what. I mean,
yeah,
to me, they would have a very difficult time to get better than a 6 seed.
And yeah, and the West is so stacked.
I mean, you got Golden State, you got Houston, and then,
oh gosh,
there's five teams that could be that 3rd seed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're all good.
Utah, I would say, right now to me, is the third.
Utah, Denver,
Denver didn't even make the playoffs last year.
I know.
Oklahoma City. Probably.
Oklahoma City, San Antonio. Yeah, Oklahoma City for sure.
Sans Mello.
Yeah. Minnesota, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, so I was... So you know Whitney, right? The...
Oh, yeah.
So his... So we had a whole Twitter exchange the other day, and he dropped a little knowledge on me is that one of the reasons that Jimmy Butler's teammates hate him is that he makes some passes, some inappropriate advances to all their girlfriends. And, you know, kind of does the move of sliding into the DMs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and it's not...
He's a regular Derek Fisher is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a Wiggins and Towns.
He's a regular Tony Parker.
Oof, that was rough. I thought it was interesting. So did you see the Spurs hired, what's his name? Oh, God, I'm terrible with names tonight. Matt Barner. Barry? The guy that Brent Tony Barry? Parker had a, yeah, Brent Barry. Hired Brent Barry, but it was only after Tony Parker left.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway. Yeah. God, I'm bad with names. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the whole thing with Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade on the Instagram.
What's the whole thing with them?
So, he was, like, saying how hot she looked in her Instagram and all caps and everything, and Dwayne Wade was, like, tweeting back, and it was like, don't be coming into my girlfriend's or to my wife's Instagram with all caps or whatever. So it
was, like, was that really recent?
It was this summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, of course, they were teammates, and, you know, things did not go swimmingly when it was he and Rondo and Wade.
Jimmy Butler needs to get off going after these players' wives and girlfriends. He needs to go after their mothers. So the Froggy, Fresh song.
I knew it. I knew you were gonna.
Froggy Fresh has new tracks out too. He's doing piano.
Oh, he unretired. He said he was retiring from the rap game at one point.
No. He's doing like adult alternative music now.
So I have a new favorite rapper, by the way.
David, let's hear it.
Have you ever heard of Flint Flossy?
People at work have talked about him, but I haven't listened to him. Is he good?
You need to watch music. You need to watch Flint Flossy on YouTube. I would recommend Naughty Farmer. what else is it good? What's the one that's really good?
Street Meat?
Something about yogurt.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, what is... Oh, Taste You Like Yogurt. Yeah, watch Taste You Like Yogurt and watch Naughty Farmer. And tell me Flint Flossy isn't the best rapper around right now.
Okay, so... Flint Flossy aside, and I think we've kind of beaten the Jimmy Butler thing to death. I mean, he's going to go somewhere, or he's not. The Cavs could be a part of it in a, you know, taking back a bad contract or some kind of way like that. But I think outside of that, the Cavs probably don't have the juice to get Jimmy Butler. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, the Cavs aren't getting Jimmy Butler.
So Tom and David, is Jimmy Butler a top 10 player?
Ooh, I would say not top 10, but I would definitely say top 20.
Oh, if he's not injured, he might be top 10.
Oh, I put him in top 10 when he's not injured. Like, really? You look at his Vance. Oh, his RPM is usually top 7. You know, well, you look at advanced stats. He's
all right. Let's look at RPM, and I will tell you the people below him in RPM that I think are better than him.
Well, there you go.
He is four. Oh, no, that's just.
You gotta look at everybody, not just guards.
Yeah, I'm just looking at. Why am I just looking at?
Hot statistics action on Cavs a podcast.
Okay. Yeah. No, he's fourth. Okay.
Fourth in the league in RPM. Right. I mean, that's pretty good. I'd say
LeBron is better than him.
I'll say that, and that was regular season coasting LeBron. There was a lot of chill mode last year.
I would say Anthony Davis is better than him.
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
I would say Giannis is better than him.
I don't know. I would pick Jimmy Butler over Giannis at this point. I would say Giannis can't shoot.
Kevin Durant is better than him.
I'll agree with you there. Although Kevin Durant never gonna be defensive player of the year because the media hates him too much.
Durant?
Yeah, did you hear that today? He was like ranting about how he'll never like the media hates him too much, so they'd never give him defensive player of the year.
I saw Charles Barkley saying he whines too much, which is true.
Oh yeah, no, it was extra like ridiculously B-wordy today. Talking about no matter how good he plays on defense, he'll never get the respect he deserves. Even though he averaged 2 blocks a game last year.
Yeah, I'll put him between 10 and 15, Nate, but I'm not going to put him top 10.
Okay, so who's above him?
Chris Paul, James Harden.
Whoa, no. Chris Paul, James. I wouldn't even say James Harden's above him.
I'd put Harden above him.
What? Oh, man. Guys.
If I had to win a playoff game, I would much rather have...
Dude, Harden is... He won the MVP.
Yeah, but if I had to get to a playoff game, I wouldn't pick Harden over him.
If I had to win a playoff game, I'd pick Jimmy Butler over both those guys.
I can't believe it's controversial. James Harden is a better player than Jimmy Butler. He just is.
He's the best
offensive player in basketball.
Yeah, but he sucks at maybe winning Steph Curry. Basketball games in the playoffs.
Yeah. He can't get, like, James Harden maybe.
What about Jimmy Butler? What the hell has he won in the playoffs? Crickets.
Nothing, but he could get a team to the playoffs. I don't think if James Harden was on the Cavs, like, I don't think he could get the Cavs to the playoffs.
To the playoffs. I'll give you James Harden. Steph Curry,
Anthony Davis.
Steph Curry is not better.
Are you keeping account?
Dude, come on, wait, David.
Come on, David. Steph Curry had one of the greatest offensive season, possibly the greatest offensive season in NBA
David,
history.
Listen, David, if you want me to take your "we didn't land on the moon" seriously, you're gonna have to submit to Steph Curry is better than Jimmy Butler. Look, else I just won't be able to take you seriously.
Steph Curry is a great player, but is he great? Like, he's amazing, but if you don't have Klay Thompson around him, like, that eliminates a decent amount of his skill set. If there was not another shooter like Klay Thompson with Steph Curry, teams would just load up on Curry.
Yeah, but you can say that about literally any player in the league other than maybe LeBron needs good players around them. Yeah. And that Jimmy Butler included. You don't do anything with Jimmy Butler if he's on a trash team.
Jimmy Butler can pass.
So can Steph Curry. And he can defend. So
why are you making me defend Steph Curry? I don't even like the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Russell, you wouldn't give me Chris Paul, which I think he's better. Russell but Westbrook. James. I think I would too. I think I would.
So you have Harden, a running count of what you're up to now.
Harden 1, Curry 2, Anthony Davis 3, LeBron James 4, Giannis 5, Draymond 6, and I hate Draymond above. So that's,
Draymond is he's Kevin an accent Durant, piece.
Kevin Durant 7. I don't know. Towns 8.
Oh,
what?
No way.
No.
Oh.
Towns.
Okay.
Towns is
so
mentally
John
weak.
Wall 8, right?
No way.
John Wall's triggered like 280 pounds right now.
You're trying to get to the end of this podcast.
John Wall looks so fat.
Really?
It's great, but he's very fat right now.
I saw him in the WNBA sideline game in the WNBA championship, and I was like,
Kawhi Leonard.
Huh?
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh.
He's better. Come on.
You got to prove
better.
It first. He hasn't played in 2 years. Anyway.
And Klay Thompson is
I wouldn't
close.
Put Klay above Jimmy Butler.
No. Klay can't take more than 2 dribbles.
So, but
Klay's great.
I see you're, yeah, maybe around 11 or 12.
Yeah,
I'll concede.
I'm putting 11 or 12.
I mean, depends. Situations matter, I guess.
Yeah. But
anywhere between 7 and 15, I'll say he's somewhere in that range, which is still very good.
Westbrook's got more, I mean, he's got a higher ceiling, but I feel like Butler's defense is better than Westbrook's.
Well, yeah, the other thing about Westbrook is he takes so many dumb shots.
Yeah, yeah. Butler's a little bit more judicious.
Yeah.
I wish he'd be less judicious and go after these players' moms. Jimmy Butler is your father.
LeBron James, you is a talking baller.
About that man, Jim. Talking about that man, Jimmy Butler. What's up whipping on the Cavs? They some, what does he call them? Hucksters. I ain't gonna lie, LeBron, you's a baller.
But Jimmy Butler is your father.
Now, see, look, now that's perfect. You know what Froggy Fresh did after the Cavs put the Bulls to bed? He retired. And I wish John Wall would take a lesson out of Froggy Fresh's playbook. And at the very least, you don't have to retire. Just stop with this, you know, every single year, every time I got to listen to John Wall, he's talking about, you know, how scary they are. They're not scary. No one's scared of you, John Wall. No one. No one is scared of the Wizards.
So, did you hear Tristan today talking about how...
Yeah, and if Tristan does this every year, I'm going to rant about him too, because it's
Well, he
stupid.
Said they're the four-time defending champions. You know, nobody's knocked them off in the East yet.
Yeah.
So right. Markieff Morris, was it Markieff or which one plays for Boston?
Marcus does.
So Marcus said something about, like, ain't nobody going through Cleveland this year. And EG tweeted it at Marcus Morris. He said, I forgot which twin you were. Oh, yeah, the dumb one.
Yep.
Which I thought was, like, the greatest EG tweet ever.
I didn't see that one. I'm gonna hop
it was
on
pretty
like
good.
It.
It was pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, the Marcus brothers are insufferable.
Yeah.
They just both seem like just absolute. I loved just LeBron owning Marcus Morris in the playoffs at the end of, you know, in game 6 and 7 last year. So even though I'm pretty torn on LeBron, I got a column coming about how I'm probably rooting against LeBron.
I'm rooting against LeBron.
I almost like I'm so torn like the Warriors or the Lakers on who was my least favorite team.
Oh, like I almost it's still the Warriors for me.
Yeah, but I almost feel like just this fake LA hype is just driving me insane. Like,
yeah,
it's just driving me nuts.
I'm more anti LeBron, I think, than anti Warriors now.
Yeah, really? I'm kind of in the same boat with you.
Cause like. The political statement LeBron made by not signing for 4 years or anything with the Cavs so they could build around him, sure, I agree with it. I get it. But come on, you're like a hometown person. Like, just sign for 4 years with the Cavs. Let them build something special. Like, and this was just an easy cop-out for LeBron to get to go to Hollywood and do Hollywood stuff. Because he's going to approach – this year's a free pass. Like, look, I bet LeBron takes 20 games off to do some health thing. Like, he gets a knee surgically operated on or some shot. Like, he's going to coast, definitely. And he has an excuse
to. The problem is
if
they don't have the margin of error for him to coast.
He's going. Like, as long as they get the AC, that's all they care about.
I don't think they have the margin of error for that because you look at the number of games between the third seed and the eighth seed last year. It was,
yeah,
like
it was like
three
one.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So point. I don't think he has that margin of error out in the West. I mean, especially because, I mean, Memphis is going to be better theoretically. Dallas will definitely be better. So I don't know. I mean, any other Cavs storylines we want to embrace here?
Well, I'm going to watch the scrimmage on Sunday.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, you're actually going to the game?
Yeah.
I think it's just a scrimmage, but
yeah, it's the one gold scrimmage. Yep.
Yeah.
That'll be cool though.
Yeah.
They I'm should looking forward it'll to probably it. Be excuse me, online. You'll probably be able to watch it on Cavs.com. you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can actually
Tom get will not have enough press credentials.
No, but I'm hoping maybe I could get.
But maybe you'll run into Joe Varden.
Yeah, I won't even know what Joe Varden looks like, to be honest.
I'm trying to think of who he looks like. Like, he kind of looks like a cartoon character. I gotta stop. I gotta stop. I'm just gonna get in trouble. I'm just gonna make sure we never get press credentials.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think they're gonna give it to us anyway.
Yeah. What were you saying, David?
Nothing. No, I'm not gonna say anything.
Like, he wore a gray sweatshirt to Cavs Media Day and jeans. I'm like, is that really the look you want to project? I don't know. That's
maybe it is.
He looks old, kind of. But I think he's pretty young.
Well, living on the road will age you. You know, he did cover LeBron for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a circus.
Yeah. So, other things. So, you know, cropping up the other day, Rodney Hood, Ty Lue thinks he's going to be the second best scorer.
Yeah, saw
I'm
that.
I'm a little worried that we're going to get too much Rodney Hood. Like, I don't understand. Like, let's commit to a guy that's going to be with the team long term rather than a guy on a 1 year deal. You know, the Cavs controlled Chetty Osmond's rights for the next, you know, 5-6 years.
So you're worried we're going to be dealing with like another Jarrett Jack situation from years back?
Yeah.
Where it's God.
Like, why are we dealing with? Yeah, exactly. A guy whose forte is mid-range pull-ups.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd be thrilled if Rodney Hood showed us a forte, to be honest, because last year he showed us nothing.
Yeah.
I'd say Kyle Korver has a better chance at averaging more points than him.
Yeah.
Korver's interesting. I'd love him to stick around, but you gotta figure some contender's gonna want him.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, yeah, he's on a great contract because I think he only makes $6 million and then next year only $3 million of that's guaranteed.
I think Korver's the type of dude that would want to stay.
Oh, I think he would. But I also think he would not mind going to play for a ring somewhere. Like,
yeah.
Like
if you're the Cavs, can you really afford to not, you know, convert him into a young piece or a draft pick? Because, I mean,
absolutely.
What is 37, 38? I mean, he's not young. He's not going to – basketball players just don't play in their 40s. So his time with the Cavs is coming to an end one way or the other.
Yeah, like I totally feel like he would be absolutely perfect for Philly.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Like, try to get shooting so bad.
Robert Covington for him.
Oh, I love Robert Covington, but they're not going to give us Robert Covington for him. The Cavs. I mean, Milwaukee, I think, would be perfect because Milwaukee also desperately needs shooters. You know, and now they kind of have a glut of guards and, you know, bring Deli home.
Yep.
We're not getting Deli back, I don't think.
I would love. Maybe next year.
Is his contract up next year?
I think he's got 2 more years. Like, I can't believe that the Cavs signed Iman Shumpert for $40 million. Like, I still can't believe that.
I mean, you kind of can if you go back to...
Well, yeah, if you look at the fact that Tyler Johnson's making 19.
Well, I'm just... I mean, he was young, and the Cavs went pretty far in 2015 with, like, a hobbled Iman Shumpert. You know, he was one of the few guys...
And there was the Deli game.
...that played through... Yeah.
Deli was better than him.
Yeah, he was, but... Yeah.
Also, Deli's averaging 4.3 and 3.8 assists.
Yeah, he Deli did not have a good year.
And he's had some injuries.
He's had injuries, and he did not shoot well last year. But
yeah,
I still love watching him play. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm sure
it was triggering. Cool. He hit that one buzzer beater in the playoff game. That was really cool.
The one where he stole
really cool
the
clip.
Rolling in.
Yeah, from, yeah. He just kind of
what's his name? Backup point guard for the Celtics.
guy from Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Bledsoe.
He's
Terry Rozier.
Rozier.
Yes. God, I'm bad with names.
Yeah. Rozier impressed me last year.
Although he kind of laid an egg against the Cavs.
At times.
He wasn't very good in that series.
Wasn't he a rookie?
Yeah.
Like, he showed...
No, it was like his...
Sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah. So we'll see what happens with that team. So I was arguing with Mallory a little bit the other day. Where do you think... Is Kyrie going to stay with the Celtics?
I think they like to rip off Bill Simmons. I think they hope he leaves, but he will probably stay.
Oh, I think Kyrie will go wherever the money is. Like, to me, he is praying he gets through this year healthy. Because that, to me, that knee is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And whoever's going to give him the money, like, I could totally see Dolan just giving him a bunch of money and then his knee falling apart. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be the Celtics. I think Danny Ainge is a little gun shy when it comes to the injuries. So, but who knows?
Celtics are in a really weird spot, though, money wise, too, because they have all these young dudes that are going to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, they're not, it's not a sustainable franchise right now.
Oh, it is. I mean, you can deal with that. If you control those guys' rights, you can deal with all that.
Yeah. If you got an owner willing to pay, you can.
Yeah, you can. And plus, it's not like, I mean, the thing that would really hobble them is if that Hayward were just unplayable and they couldn't move him. But yeah, they can still trade him. I mean, there's nobody on that team that's untradeable.
Right.
At this point. So other things about the Cavs. So my other fear is that, you know, this playoff edict hampers development and we see, you know, Ty Lue making bad substitution decisions and, you know, not playing guys like Chetty Osman and not playing guys like Colin Sexton, and we see a lot of George Hill and a lot of Tristan Thompson over, you know, Larry Nance and all that kind of thing. You know, the old Nance.
Yeah, but I still think that's fine because basically if you're good enough, you're going to play, right?
Oh, Larry, I don't know if that's true.
I think it's true.
I've never LeBron's had that confidence in Ty Lue.
Yeah, but it's different with LeBron. And some of these guys, I mean, just weren't better. So...
The Cavs need to play Jetty, like Larry Nance, Ante Zizic, and Sexton, like 30 minutes a game at least.
And
then Kevin Love, like 35. But the young dudes need to get the majority of the minutes. Tristan Thompson, like, try to trade him, but he's a lost cause. Well, the NBA passed him up. If he could have developed a 3-point shot, like, that was mildly workable, like Draymond.
Let's say a 12-foot shot.
Yeah.
But like,
let's say a
Tristan
layup.
Tristan Thompson's like the next, what's his name? Quincy Acey. Is that the guy? Like, that's what his destiny is, to just be some weird big guy that gets a lot of offensive boards. Like, cool. But he's not helping a team win anything.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe he'll get his athleticism back, but I was a little scared when Ben Worth said he looked pretty darn pedestrian for Team Canada. I was like, oof, if you're not looking good in that setting, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you're playing against guys that aren't even in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have no idea what this season's going to bring. I mean, I really kind of rail against these people who want the Cavs to just go in total tank mode. And my whole thing is, well, if the Cavs make the playoffs, it means that A, Chetty Osman's probably pretty good, and B, either George Hill or, you know, some random vet had a really good year, or Colin Sexton is really good. And if Colin Sexton and, you know, Chetty Osman are really good along with Kevin Love and they make the playoffs because of that, how is that not a win? You know, how is rooting for next year? You know, don't you want those guys to be good?
rather than the next guy you could draft? Or do you just want those guys to be mediocre and then the savior is coming? I'd rather the savior be here now. So,
yeah,
that's my take. That's my two cents.
I mean, to force them to draft smarter, like the Cavs don't need a high draft pick. Like if we could get a good grinder at like 11 or 12.
Well, the problem is if they don't finish in.
Oh, they don't even get the pick. Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't finish in the bottom 10, they don't get the pick.
But I don't know.
The other side of that is, well, if they do get a pick, then they got to stink next year to keep next year's pick. So, because it runs over.
Yeah, I'd almost rather they just, like, they just need to play how they're going to play. They make the playoffs awesome. Like, they don't have a pick. That's whatever. They honestly will probably end up with a pick, but through some trade this year. It won't be a great one, but.
Yeah, well, I think they have the ability to take on salary or to trade one of those expiring type deals for a team that's looking to cut salary going into next year.
Yeah.
So
Korver or Hill could like net a late first rounder.
Or even J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Because of that, because he's only due $3 million out of 13 next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
JR is kind of terrifying too to have on this team around young guys.
JR, who's lost 20 pounds, supposedly.
Yeah.
Kind of losing it, though, already this year.
Yeah.
Like releasing children's books.
So this podcast getting a little long in the tooth. Tom just IM'd me that he's got to go. So, Tom, any parting shots?
No.
I kind of feel like we got Tom's rant, story time with Tom at the beginning.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So Tom's going to sign off. David, what about you? Anything you want to pitch? Anything?
The oral history of basketball is really good. The Ray Farfalmu and I think Jackie McMullen. I'm probably butchering it, but that one's really good. The race relations stuff in the book is crazy. Like a lot of like early NBA stuff I never realized.
Oh, about race relations? Nice.
Yeah, and like basketball stuff like across the country and like just random coaches and stuff. And then I never realized the Kentucky program, like, I think their coach was Adolph Rupp. That dude was a total turd. Didn't know that at all. The new Young Dolph album is really good. And, yeah, that's about it.
So I'm going to pitch a band called Dreamwife. They're actually playing at the Beachland Friday night. So it'll be tonight when this drops. They're kind of a femme punk pop band. All girls, trio. They've got some, real good songs. So check them out. And then, I would pitch a beer, but I'm actually brewing my own beer. I'm bottling tomorrow. So I will not.
Nice. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, I got a couple brews. Right now I'm doing an Alpha King clone, which is a Three Floyds beer, and then doing a brown ale. After that, and then I'm going to do a holiday beer. So,
are you growing hops this year?
I'm not, but I want to get in touch with Nomad, who has been pitching his hops farm on the comment section. So, I got to see if he can hook me up with some hops.
Yeah, it takes a couple of years before you can really use them, but that's an awesome thing.
When I was in Michigan, not this summer, but the previous, we found wild hops, and I really wanted to go harvest some, but I didn't know what I was doing, and they were on in a park, but I was like, I don't want to serve time for picking wild hops. So in a random
American
prison. Yeah, exactly. Plus I didn't know what the glycemic index was.
There you go. That's the real reason. The real reason.
Because according to Tom, we just don't know.
We just don't know.
And that's kind of how the Cavs are going to be this year. We just don't know.
We just don't know. Yeah.
So I'm excited to actually watch him play. So, and I'm excited to watch who the Browns playing this weekend.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders.
So who are terrible.
Yep.
So they should.
They got a good chance.
I am so enjoying the fall of Chucky. So.
The what?
Chucky, their coach.
Oh man. Oh,
Gruden.
Or no.
Yeah, Gruden.
Yeah, John Gruden.
Who is 0-2 and just looking completely out of his depth. So,
yeah.
Because things change very quickly in the NFL. So, yeah. So we'll see what the season brings. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blog Podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.